Psalm 119. The theme, as you well know, of Psalm 119 is God's Word. I'd like to read verses 97 through verse 104. Oh, how I love thy law, is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. For I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, and I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. In the very first stanza of Psalm 119, we see the Word of God is described in several ways, and we see this here in this stanza. He refers to it as the law. He refers to it as commandments, precepts, judgments, thy word, all, of course, referring to the Word of God. I want to speak this evening on lovers of God's Word. We see he opens with, oh, again, a note of exclamation. He's trying to express a very intense feeling, and that's indicated there by that very first word. He says, oh, how I love thy law. He's attempting to express something that he does not have the words to express. He's attempting to express something that he cannot adequately express. That ought to be true of us. Oh, how I love thy word. Love for the Lord, love for the word are closely related. I don't believe you can separate the two. Oh, how I love thy law. Those are words of joy. Those are words of gratitude. Those are words of praise. Again, trying to express something that he cannot express. He expresses his love throughout Psalm 119 of God's Word. And we need to be lovers of God's Word. A proper attitude toward the Word of God is foundational to spirituality. There is no real spirituality separate and apart from God's Word. There is no spirituality separate and apart from love for God's Word. There are many who profess salvation today, and it is very obvious that they have very little respect for God's Word. They have very little concern for the Word of God. So as the psalmist thinks upon God's Word, the first thing he does is he reviews some of the benefits that he has personally received from God's Word. He says there in verse 98 that he has received wisdom from the Word of God. Thou, through thy commandments, it's God who did it, but he used his commandments, or he used his word. The word is his tool. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies. It's not very difficult to be wiser than the world, because the world is made up of fools. And God gives us wisdom, and He uses His Word to impart wisdom. That's what He says here in verse 98. And what is wisdom? Wisdom basically is biblical skill in living. That's wisdom. It's viewing things from God's point of view. He also received understanding. We see in verse 9, I understand more than the ancients, than the old men. I understand more because I've kept thy precepts. Verse 100, he mentions understanding. Verse 104, he mentions understanding. So understanding, of course, is spiritual insight. Where does one get spiritual insight? They get it from God's Word. Spiritual discernment, that's understanding. Spiritual awareness, spiritual perception. We get this understanding from God's Word. So in the Word of God, he found a wisdom and an understanding that exceeded the wisdom and understanding of his enemies and of his teachers and of the ancients. So we see here the characteristics of one who loves God's Word will have wisdom, will have understanding. Because a lover of God's Word will be in God's Word. And God will use that to impart wisdom. God will use that to impart understanding. So we're going to look at some characteristics from these verses of the one who loves God's Word. How do we know that we love God's Word? Again, he begins, oh, how I love thy law. The one who loves God's Word meditates upon it. He states that here in verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. I believe meditation is a lost art today, or a lost skill amongst God's people. But immediately following his exclamation of his love for the Word of God, he says, it is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, he said, thy testimonies are my meditation. So it was the habit of the psalmist to thoughtfully repeat the Word of God. That's what meditation is. It's to thoughtfully repeat. It's thoughtful repetition. So he may hear the Word and he thoughtfully repeats it. He may read it and he thoughtfully repeats it. That's meditation. That's for one who loves God, that will mark their life. They will thoughtfully repeat. They will thoughtfully reflect upon God's Word. Lovers of God's Word will reflect upon His Word. They will recite it within their hearts. And in doing so, there's wisdom. We find understanding that far exceeds meditating in anything else. Meditating in God's Word, we find wisdom. We find understanding. So the lover of God's Word meditates upon the Word of God. It doesn't just go in one ear and out the other, but he thoughtfully considers his Word. And that's why, again, I do not believe, I don't think it's wise to simply for devotions, we'll call it devotions, just to read the Bible through in a year. Nothing wrong with reading the Bible through in a year. but it's not a race. And you need to read it and meditate upon what you've read. You need to read it and carry it with you through the day. The one who loves God's word carries it within his heart. In verse 98, he says, "Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Now, I believe the "they" here is referring back to the commandments, and I believe that's indicated by the word "for." I made wiser than mine enemies because they, the commandments, are ever with me. It speaks of God's word having a place in our heart. That's what God commanded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, that they were to have God's word in their heart. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14, God repeated this over and over to the children of Israel, that his word must have a place in our hearts. And that is so today. It must have more, it must not just abide in our minds. It has to have a place in our hearts. And the one who loves God's word, just like if you love an individual, they have a place in your heart. If you love God's word has a place in your heart, and that is wherever you go, it is. It's always there. It's always available. Now again, we see through the word of God, we get wisdom and understanding. So the presence of God's word in our heart, it acts as a counselor. It gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding. You see, the child of God can go through the day, the word of God in his heart, and that acts as a counselor. It'll say, "Don't do that. Do that." It acts as a counselor. And it may save our lives. And it no doubt will save us from many troubles. It is in our heart. It's wise counsel. It's wise counsel. It's a wonderful thing when you're not sure what to do about a situation and Scripture comes to mind. That's wonderful. That's God. That's God giving counsel through His Word. Thirdly, the one who loves God's Word seeks to obey it. The lover of God's Word does not seek loopholes. The lover of God's Word seeks to obey the Word of God. The lover of God's Word has no conflict with the Word of God. They have no disagreement with the Word of God. I've had people tell me, "I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this anyway." That's dangerous. Many times people don't recover from that. Verse 100 says, "I understand more than the ancients because I obey thy word." So, God uses His word to give wisdom and understanding. We've already established that, but we see something else here. Obedience to God's word increases understanding. You practice God's word, God gives you more. He gives you more understanding. So obedience is the imperative duty of man, and obedience, of course, involves submissiveness and conformity to a rule or standard. And the rule and standard, of course, is the Word of God. And the one who loves God's Word seeks to obey God's Word. The foundation for obedience, according to John 14 and 15, is love to the Lord, which also translates into love for God's Word. It's not only a display of wisdom, and it is a display of wisdom and understanding to obey God's word. It's a display of foolishness to disobey God's word. But the lover of God receives understanding from God, receives wisdom from God's word, and it is a display, it is a manifestation of that wisdom, it is a manifestation of that understanding that they obey the word of God. So the one who loves God's word seeks to obey God's word. Do they always obey God's word? Of course not. We're sinful men. But they seek to obey God's word. And they have a standard, and that standard is the word of God. So yes, there is wisdom and understanding to be had through God's word. There is also wisdom and understanding to be had, to be gained through obedience to God's word. Fourthly, the one who loves God's word separates themselves from that which is contrary to the word of God. He states in verse 101, he says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. So he's saying here, I have abstained, I have avoided, I have shunned, I have renounced that which is in opposition, that which is in conflict with the Word of God. And why did he do that? Well, he did it because he loves the Word, but he also did it so that he could obey the Word. Notice again, verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that, in order that I might keep thy word. You can't obey God's word if you do not separate from that which is opposed to God's word. You cannot obey God's word if you do not separate that which is contrary to the word of God. And you know, the world is going to say, well, you people are against everything. No, we're not against as much as we should be. If the truth be known, we ought to be against everything that God's word is against. So again, if we love God's word, we separate from that which is contrary to God's word, because God's word is our standard. Public opinion means nothing. As far as our standard goes, as far as how we're going to live goes. The year does not matter. Circumstances do not matter. God's word is to be our standard. And therefore, if we love God's word, we're willing to separate from anything that is contrary to it. There are people today who want to argue against God's word. Don't waste your breath. The problem there is a heart problem with them. And only God can fix a heart problem. But if we love God's word, we're willing to separate from that which is contrary to it. Fifthly, the one who loves God's word cleaves to it. Notice in verse 102, he says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I have not departed from thy judgments, because thou hast taught me. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher of God's word. God uses men. God can use books. God can use a lot of things to teach truth. But the Holy Spirit is the best teacher of God's word. For thou hast taught me. What a blessing to be taught of the Lord. To be taught of God. He says, I do not depart from thy judgments, because you have taught me. In other words, because God has taught me, it has a greater impact. He's taught me. Therefore, it impacts our life, because He's the teacher. And I have not departed. That, of course, does not mean that He never strayed from God's Word on any occasion, but that He did not deliberately do so. Big difference. We all stray. But there is a big difference between deliberately disobeying God's Word. You know God's Word says such and such, and you deliberately disobey it. There's a big difference between that and disobeying, but not deliberately. You didn't mean to. Now, they're both sin. But the one who loves God's Word does not deliberately drift from it. Does not deliberately stray from it. In fact, the one who loves God's Word finds great sorrow in the slightest departure from His Word. The one who doesn't love God's Word, they deliberately depart from it. It's not their standard. They feel no sorrow in doing so. In fact, they're proud. They have some pride about it. But the one who loves God's Word, when they stray from God's Word, it causes a great sorrow in their heart, which is indicative, again, of wisdom and understanding. The individual who deliberately disobeys God's Word, deliberately departs from God's Word, shows a great lack of wisdom, shows a great lack of understanding. But the individual who cleaves to it and will not let it go, God's Word has a hold of them, and they have a hold of God's Word. They cleave to it. That's a manifestation of wisdom and understanding from the Lord. Sixthly, the one who loves God's Word finds it very appealing. It's a delight. In verse 103, he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Once again, he's trying to express that which is inexpressible. Oh, how sweet is thy word. It conveys the idea that he finds God's word to be pleasant. He finds it to be agreeable. He finds it to be gratifying. It's something that he accepts. Those who love God's Word find it to be sweet. One of the greatest gifts that you and I can have from God, one of the greatest blessings, is for God to give us a love for His Word. Because again, that'll save our lives. It may save the life of someone else also. But it's a great blessing for God to put in our hearts a love for His Word. We love reading it. We love hearing it. We love thinking about it. There isn't anything in God's Word that we should find unlovable. Even that which is convicting to us, that which cuts to the heart, we find it sweet, because we know that's God teaching us. So those who love the Word of God, they delight in it. And he expresses this all through the 119th Psalm. He talks about how he delights in it more than all the silver and gold. You ought to have a delight for God's Word. Such a delight that it would be a very terrible thing in our minds to be separated from it for a single day. We find delight in God's Word. And if we can read God's Word and not find delight, if it's dry to us, we just do not find joy, it's a chore to read, we've got a serious problem. The problem is not with God's Word. The problem is not with the King James Version. It's not that you need to go out and buy a new version. The problem is a heart problem. The problem is, might be a salvation problem. The problem is that there's not a love for God's Word. God's Word is a great delight for those who love it. We can read the same verse of Scripture every single day and just get sweeter every day. We don't get tired of it. You can just get on a word. And one word is just so sweet, so delightful, so pleasant. Those who love God's Word take great joy in it. Lastly, those who love God's Word hate that which is contrary to it. We said earlier, they separate from that which is contrary to it. But even more so, the hate. What is contrary to God's Word. In verse 104, he says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore." Therefore. "Because I get understanding through his word, therefore I hate every false way." And what is a false way? It is anything and everything that is contrary to His Word. That is false. It's not academia that determines truth. It's not the politicians that determine truth. God has already determined truth. And it's in His Word. And God's Word is truth. And when God gives us understanding and wisdom through His Word, therefore I hate every false way. So, through, by way of, thy precepts, that is the general rules of God's Word, that which regulates our behavior and thought, He says, I get. That is, I have attained understanding. Therefore, for this reason or consequently, because of the understanding that I receive from God's Word, I hate every false way. So if we don't hate that which is false, we lack understanding that God gives in His Word. Love for the Word of God will not permit you and I to approve of that which is in direct opposition to it. Will not allow us to do so. Love for the Word of God causes us to hate every false way. Now that goes against the entire world system. To hate every false way. But you think about it. They love the false way, and what do they hate? God's Word. We're to be just the opposite. So love for the Word of God is foundational to spiritual maturity and prosperity. Someone is newly saved. The best instruction you can give them is to stay in the Word. Not go buy this book or that book. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. And as you stay in God's Word, your love for God's Word increases. It's foundational to spiritual maturity. It's not time that gives us maturity. Certainly we should learn from experience, but it's not time that gives us maturity. It's God's Word, the application of God's Word to our lives that gives us spiritual maturity and also gives us spiritual prosperity. There is such a thing as spiritual prosperity. That's why the New Testament always speaks of abounding. It's spiritual prosperity. And God's Word is foundational to it. The love for God's Word is foundational to it. And it is this love for God's Word that allows us to possess wisdom and understanding. So it's foundational to heavenly wisdom. The book of James puts a difference between wisdom from above and wisdom from beneath. God's Word is food. It's food for our brains. It's food for our souls. We are to think biblically. We are to think biblically. Our perception is to be biblically. We are to think biblically and act accordingly. That should be our life. It's not a matter of Democrat, Republican. Think biblically. Think biblically. And if a child of God thinks biblically, you can't be for a party that supports abortion. You can't be for a party that supports homosexuality. If you think biblically, you can't be for anyone who stands behind those things. Think biblically. And how do we think biblically? Staying in His Word. We stay in His Word, it becomes a part of us. And we think biblically. And if we think biblically, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And it's the result of God teaching us. So, think biblically. Our worldview, and we all have one, ought to be centered around God's Word. If our worldview, any part of it, it doesn't matter what part of it, any part of our worldview that does not line up with the Word of God, we have an incorrect worldview. And we have to be careful today because we are bombarded with the worldview of Satan, contrary to God's Word. Kids go off to college and they come back and they haven't learned anything. Not worthwhile, because their heads have been filled with that which is devilish. And they don't think biblically. And as a result, this country's in sad, sad shape. I don't mean everybody that goes to college. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking generally. But there is closeness to God in His Word. We draw close to God through His Word. There's comfort through His Word. There are people today, you can take the Word of God up to their hospital room, read them a verse of Scripture, and they get offended by it. That's a sad commentary. And some of those folks claim to be saved. Well, I don't need you preaching to me. All they did was read it. Didn't make any comment whatsoever. There's comfort in God's Word. The greatest comfort there is found in God's Word. There's peace in God's Word. There's strength in the Word of God. Oh, how I love Thy law. Oh, that each one of us would be a lover of God's Word. It will be manifest in our lives. We ought to long to read it. We ought to long to hear it. We ought to long to study it. We ought to long to dig deeper into the Word of God. We should not be afraid to dig deep into God's Word. You get to a point of spiritual maturity, and you don't just want that which is shallow. You don't just want that which is on the surface. You want to dig into God's Word. I believe there are people who are afraid to dig into God's Word. Dig into God's Word. Search it. There's great treasures. There's great treasures to be had. So we ought to thank God every day for His Word. And here we are, we live in a country where we are free to have it, the Word of God. It ought to be our most valuable possession, God's Word. Oh, how I love Thy law. Oh, how I love Thy Word. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us some